Thank the Greensboro Choir for the wonderful selection. We don't say thank you enough to people sometime, but we do appreciate Mrs. Good and all the members of the choir, how hard they work. I know Miss Good travels from this area where she lives up in this area all the way to Greensboro for Sabbath services and to hold choir rehearsal. She doesn't have to do that. She could attend services up in this area and go home. But she doesn't do that. It shows the love that she has for God's way. So just want to throw that in to, you know, appreciate all the hard work that she is doing with the choir. God is pleased with it as well. And this is what we need to look at any time that we can do things to enhance the spiritual part of a person's life, then God expects us to do that. So here we are, coming to the end of the seventh day of the festival of unleavened bread. And was mentioned just a few minutes ago in the sermonette. What have we learned these 7 days? Feast of Unleavened Bread teaches us that we have been called to reject lawlessness and repent of sin. So we learn by doing. We learn by spiritual lessons, by doing physical things. We perform the task of de-leavening our homes, and this reminds us to be vigilantly watching for sinful thoughts and actions so we can avoid them. God knows that in spite of our good intentions, we will sin. Many years after the conversion, Paul described his situation of his conversion. And he described a powerful human pull within the body that wanted him to sin. So in Romans chapter 7, we turn to Romans chapter 7, and we will notice verse 21 through 25 of Romans chapter 7, verse 21. I find then a law that evil is present with me, that one who wills to do good. So Paul is experiencing here the pull of sin within the body, and at the same time, it is his desire to do the right thing. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So Paul knew. He had full understanding that life would be a battle with sin. The Bible speaks of sin that so easily ensnares us. And Satan has set up this wall out there in society to pick us off one by one if we aren't careful to be on guard as we go through life. Hebrews chapter 12, we will read verse 1 from Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which is so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So we have our own part to play in this struggle of life to overcome sin. Our observance of the days of unleavened bread helps us realize our need for Jesus Christ's help in overcoming our weaknesses. We must have God's help. We must have Jesus Christ to walk with us daily. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is a time of rejoicing because Christ freely gives us help in time of need. And the Lamb of God was sacrificed for the forgiveness of our sins, unleavened or cleansing our lives can only happen as we are continuing to live obediently to God through the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. So here are coming to the end. Here we are. We're coming to the end of this wonderful, wonderful feast at sundown this evening. At Passover, God gave us a clean slate of forgiveness. Then he gave us 7 days that we could show God that our desire is to continue to put sin out of our lives. So the act of putting sin out should not stop at sunset this afternoon, brethren, but it should continue. It should continue throughout our lives as long as we are on this face of the earth. So the sermon title for today, if you would like to have one, would be Building a Life of Overcoming. Building a Life of Overcoming. Now to continue on the road of overcoming, we must look to Jesus Christ. He has promised to help us in time of need. And our need is to seek his help, but we must also do our part. The Bible tells us the things we must do as we build this life of overcoming. So we want to take a closer look then at what the scriptures say about the things that will help us as we seek to overcome. Scriptures have a lot to say about the mind. We want to talk about the mind for a while this afternoon. The mind is the focal part of our actions. It is the motivation of our being. So God is very particular about what enters our minds. The scriptures show us that we must continue to renew our minds day by day. Why? Because this is the tool, brethren. This is the tool for building a life of overcoming. So let's notice what the scriptures say about renewing our minds. Into Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we will read verse 1 and 2. Romans 12. Verse 1, Paul writes, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So during these 7 days, we have been working on ourselves to remove the things that are not acceptable to the will of God and are now replacing them with the spiritual things that are pleasing God. And I've said so many times, and I will continue to say it over and over again in a repetitive motive, brethren, that we should always do everything we possibly can to please God. This should be our number one effort in life, is to please God. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We will read verse 8 and 9. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. This is just the beginning of what God is telling us to focus on and to fill our minds with. The things which we learned and received and heard and saw in verse 9, in me, Paul says, do, and the God of peace will be with you. So verse 8, Paul gives us a very important list of things that if we will use this list that Christ inspired Paul to write, our minds will be renewed. You see, brethren, the human mind will always set itself on something. And Paul wanted to be quite sure that the Philippians would set their minds on the right things, and God wants the same from us. This is something of the utmost importance because it is a law of life that if we think of something long enough and often enough, it will come to be a point where we cannot stop thinking about it. And Paul states the fine things we should feel in our minds. First of all, Paul says, there are things which are true. So how wonderful is that, brethren, to let God's truth be a part of our daily thoughts. There are so many things in the world that are deceptive, things that are false promises that are made, offerings of peace and happiness which they can never keep, all of these nations getting together, trying to form a peaceful state of the union, it never happens. And there's a reason why. In John chapter 8 and verse 32 tells us this. It lets us know why. John chapter 8 and verse 32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So this is why there's so much chaos. They're not free from the things that surrounds them and cause them so many problems because they don't know the truth. God's truth will free us from the world's deception. And Paul continues as he notes the things that are noble. Now, the Amplified Version says, whatever is worthy of reverence and honorable. So the word noble really describes that which has the deity of holiness upon it. So the dignity of holiness is placed on something, and you know, this is something that should be a part of my mind, of our minds. And Paul continues with the things that are just. In verse 8, having our minds filled with the things that are just and right. And we understand and we know that God is just, and having our minds filled with the justly things in life will help us as Christians to do our duty to others and to God. And then he says, there are things which are purer. And the Greek word hagnos describes what is morally uncontaminated. It describes that which has been clean and is fit to be brought into the presence of God and used in his services. So we asked ourselves, how pure are my thoughts? Are these thoughts that I should bring to services on the Sabbath as I appear before God? Now, the world is full of things which are sordid and contaminated. These minds are filled with daily unpleasant thoughts. But the Christian mind is set upon the things which are clean. Another thing we would fill our minds with is the things that are lovely. Can we think of things that are lovely? Can we fill our minds with the things that are lovely? There are many of these things which take a moment for us to notice sometimes. And it's good to just appreciate the Sabbath so much more. As we can walk out on a nice day like this and just notice the great creation that God has made and created. All the wonderful things that appear before us. And fill our minds with the beauty. Because the minds of the world are set on criticism, rebuke, vengeance. But our minds must be filled with the fruits of the Spirit. Found in Galatians chapter 5. Then, we should seek to place our minds on the things that are of good report. Sometimes people love to follow gossip. God hates gossip. Proverbs, the book of Proverbs will tell you this. But fill our minds with good report. This is what Apostle Paul is telling us in verse 8. This should eliminate the gossip on the lips and on the minds of this world. There are far many things that are not fit to be spoken of. But on the lips and minds of a Christian, it should be words that would be fitting for God to hear. So Paul goes on to speak about the virtue, the praiseworthy. These are the things, brethren, that are here and listed in verse 8. The tools that can be used in renewing our mind. So when it comes to renewing our minds, God will do his part. Let's notice God's part as he helps us, help. As we struggle day by day. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 7. 2 Timothy 1. In verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So three gifts are promised by God for every true Christian here in this verse. A spirit of power. Then we have a spirit of love. And a spirit of a sound mind, or a mind that is self-disciplined. So God has promised us these three gifts. God has extended these gifts to us, but are we taking them? And are we applying them to our lives? After he was crucified, when Jesus was preparing to return to his Father, he specifically promised that the Holy Spirit would guide us in all truth. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. We will read verse 13. John chapter 16, verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So separating God's truth from the deceitful lies of Satan is a challenge. And it's a challenge for all of us. But God has promised to help us, but we must be willing to accept his help. Jesus did not say the Holy Spirit would give you all truth, but that it would guide you into all truth. So it's something we must do as well. And bring us out of darkness into light. John chapter 8 and verse 12. In John chapter 8, verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And then we have in Psalm 119, in verse 105, Psalm 119, verse 105, David said these words, says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. So light here in this verse refers to understanding. So as God draws us out of darkness, he gives us understanding of his ways. So brethren, it is so important that we remember to keep our minds renewed. Why? Because Satan is standing by to deceive you through your mind. And just a reminder of this, in Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, and verse 12, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So once again, you know, we must realize these evil forces actually exist and are controlled by Satan. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We will read verses 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds. And verse 5 says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So it's evident here that God wants those thoughts that are not pleasing to Him, that we bring them into captivity, not have them to be a part of our system. So Paul uses the word stronghold to demonstrate as an illustration of spiritual warfare that he waged during his lifetime. Now, Paul did not walk according to the flesh of the world at all. In fact, he desired instead to conquer the flesh. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. First Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receive the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So it's clear to see that Satan is fighting for control of your mind. But why would Satan want to control your mind? Well, Ephesians. Let's turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Begin reading in verse 17. Thus I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of ignorance that is in them because of blindness of their heart, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. But you have not so learned Christ is verse 21. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth of Jesus, that you put off concerning your old former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So Satan targets your mind, brethren, and slips in every available inch of opening that he can tempt you with. So in 2 Corinthians, we go back to Paul's writing here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We read verse 3. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupt from the simplicity that is in Christ. So Paul was very concerned about the church here in Corinth, and he gave them this warning. And also in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, read verse 13 and 14 of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. It says, "For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, fell into transgression." So Satan attacks your mind because your mind is the part of the image of God, where the communications with you are revealed between you and God. So your mind is where Satan wants to attack. And in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, it says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." So the heart spoken of in the Old Testament is talking about the mind. So we could say, keep your mind with all diligence, out of it springs the issues of life. So in the Old Testament then, the heart deals with your thoughts. And because your thoughts dominates and shapes your attitude leads to an action, and your action lead to an achievement. So what the mind attends to, it considers. And what the mind does not attend, it dismisses. And what the mind believes, it eventually will do. So we've always said that when we look at some of these criminal cases that we see in life, if a person thinks about a thing long enough, eventually they will do it. And we mentioned that just a few minutes ago, that if you set your mind on something and if you stay there with that thought long enough, whether or not it's good or bad, brethren, eventually you will do it. So we have to saturate our minds with the things that God wants us to have on our minds to keep us in the right perspective. And Satan realized that if he can change our influence, what you think about, and change the influence of how you believe, this is just an example to let you know that this is the work of our adversaries. But we should be on guard. We should always strive to overcome sin and to live as a Christian life, live the Christian life, and take every opportunity to grow in grace and in knowledge. We should also try to encourage and strengthen others, to help, to give, to show love for those who are in need, sacrificing our time and energy for the well benefit of others. So these are just the standards God has set for us. The standards are high for living a Christian way of life. So these 7 days of unleavened bread pictures these standards, and our efforts to identify and remove sin can be compared to a story that I so often mention during the days of unleavened bread. And this little short story was very simple to understand. It says that it was a sculpture. It was chipping away. I tried to imagine this huge boulder, this huge rock that this sculpture had out there. He was chipping away. And there were some people standing by watching him chip away at this huge rock. And there was one man had watched him for several days. And then he decided to walk over and asked him, "What are you sculpting?" And the sculptor replies, "An elephant." And the other man then asks, "How do you sculpt an elephant?" And the sculptor considered the question, then said, "It's really very simple. You just keep chipping away everything that doesn't look like an elephant. You just continue to chip away." So we are doing the same thing when we start chipping away sins from our lives. The lives that we have is not as complete in condition with God's way, God's will. We continue to chip away. So we had these 7 days to chip away. Did we complete? No, we did not. Still have a lot of chipping to do. And when we leave here this afternoon and the days of unleavened bread ends at sunset, you still chip. You chip, brethren, right on through next year. You just keep chipping. Because you know, only because there is a lot of chipping to do. In 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 of 1 John 2 from the New International Version. So, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. So, again, this evening at sunset, you know, we end the 7-day festival of unleavened bread. And just as the Israelites went out from Egypt with a high hand, rejoicing, being delivered from the bondage of sin, we too can be rejoicing this afternoon at these 7 days that God has been with us, and God is with us. And we should be more determined than ever to help ourselves conquer sin through the Holy Spirit of God. If we confess our sins, the scripture says, He is faithful. And we find this in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now you might say, "Well, I've been praying about this for a whole seven days." Yes, you have. We all have. But there's always that little thing that we miss. So that's the reason why we can continue. You know, and there was an article in 1983 that Mr. Armstrong wrote, an article titled "How to Prevent Sin." And he said, "The way to prevent sin is to let God's Spirit fill your mind." So I say this is 100% correct. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3 and verse 2. To set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So the way to put something out of the mind is to put an opposite thought in the mind. And that opposite fulfillment then should be something of value. So doing these 7 days of unleavened bread that we had, God wants us to improve ourselves. He wants us to prove ourselves. And so what are the things that he is asking us to do? Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse beginning reading in verse 12. Colossians 3, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, verse 12, holy and beloved, put on the tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. Burn with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalm and hymn and spiritual song, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. These are just some things that coming out of the days of unleavened bread that God wants us to continue to do, and the things that he wants us to continue to improve on. 1 Peter chapter 4, begin reading in verse 1. 1 Peter 4, verse 1, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself always also with the same mind, for he who suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust on man, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in licentiousness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable adulteries. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. So with the help of God, brethren, we can come out of sin. Psalms 25. Verse 7, Psalm 25, verse 7, do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions, according to your mercy. Remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. So in many of the Psalms, King David praised God for his kindness and his mercies toward him. And I think we can do the same for ourselves today. So in the coming days ahead, brethren, we must be on guard and strive to avoid the traps of Satan. In the book of Romans, Apostle Paul explained our responsibility in avoiding sin. We must do all that we can to remain free from our former sinful habits. Romans chapter 6. Read two verses of Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your bodies as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Even though God the Father releases us from sin and thought, and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, His plan is to keep us free. He wants us to stay free from sin. So this requires our constant vigilant efforts to remain free. We are expected to avoid sin and temptation that can lead to wrongdoing. James chapter 1. Been covered, this verse was read earlier, but we'll go through it again. James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. But each one is tempted. So it's showing that we all want to be tempted. And when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when it is full grown, brings forth death. So the point here is, you know, when these things come in our midst, brethren, that we should not let it have and be a part of us. Because if we entertain something and it begins to grow, and then when it is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and we have not repented of that, whatever it was, it brings forth death. So when we notice something is not right in our lives, it is time for us to get rid of that at that moment. Ask God's help. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 20. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. So Paul acquainted our daily resistance to sin to a life of death and struggle. And if we continue to live in the sin without repentance, then we will perish. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So only by God's Spirit and with Christ's help can we terminate those old sinful habits that is so ingrained in our minds and our thoughts. Clearly, God is directing us to keep ourselves free from the bondage of sin. So for the final scripture, please turn to Hebrews chapter 12. We'll read this again. Hebrews chapter 12, we will read verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which is so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So we, as God's people, can rejoice because we have been set free from the captivity of sin. And I hope that we can appreciate what these days has meant to us, brethren. The Feast of Unleavened Bread represent complete freedom from sin. Now, what will we do with this? We should grow spiritually. Let us give thanks to God and Christ that very soon we will return. He will return and rescue us and deliver mankind from the bondage of sin through the love of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we hope that you have a good and pleasant rest of the afternoon, and please take care of yourself, and let's continue to grow spiritually and fight off our adversary, Satan, which he loves to take hold of you and destroy you, but we cannot let him do this. So let's pray for one another, and let's grow spiritually and please God.